in one of the conversations, there was a very passing line called, India mein achhi bread nahi milti. Today, you know, if you ask me very intelligently, you know, what did I look in a co-founder and etc., I'll answer that very, very intelligently. But at that time, we said, you know, hum dono baithe, saath mein kar lete, chalo, theek hai, kar lete, guys. Right.
What's the intelligent answer?
Look for complementary skill sets. Everything should. We have grown almost 8 times in the last 3 years, 3-4 years.
Wow.
Right. And the first 2 years was also while being profitable. Then we took on VC funding.
On today's podcast, we have Sneh. Sneh took the classic path of engineering, MBA at a top tier institute. He went to IIM Ahmedabad. After that, also, he went to McKinsey, which very few people get into, but again, it is the path that a lot of people aspire to. After that, Sneh did something very interesting. He started an artisanal bakery, The Baker's Dozen, and he's been doing that for more than 10 years now. Baker's Dozen is India's largest artisanal bakery. Join me in welcoming Sneh to the podcast.
Thank you, Abhidul. Thanks a lot.
Sneh, so Coffee with Karan has seasons, but we are all season long. So we start with the rapid fire, which we've copied from there. So
do I get a hamper also, like a virtual hamper or something?
We will.
You will ask from me for that, right?
Yes, exactly. We will be gifting you Baker's Dozen basket. That is what you get.
Yes. Fair.
I think this question is a bit moot for you because it seems like you're doing what you would have always wanted to do. But anyway, I'll ask, if you could be a professional in any other field apart from what you're doing now, what would that be?
Car racer. Always wanted to do that. Cool. Like, I think very early on, my family realized that we didn't have the money to do that. So, you know, but if anything else, I would have definitely gone down that road.
Sneh, what are three things on your bucket list? Three things personally that you would like to get done?
So I started trekking a bit. So that's one thing where I at least want to do, like, immediately. I would say, you know, Everest Base Camp, Kilimanjaro, some of the higher levels in treks at least. You know, I'll not reach out there and say that I want to climb Everest. I think that's too far. But at least follow up on that. I've reached 18,000 feet. I want to reach around 20,000-25,000 feet. So that's one. Second is very clearly be to every F1 track over the next 8 to 10 years. So complete the entire calendar. I've done around 4 circuits. I have 20 more to go. So, you know, and obviously schedules don't allow more than one a year if possible. So I think it will take me another 20 years to finish that dream. Majorly, I would say those two.
What are three things you'd have for the rest of your life if you had to pick just three?
Cliche, but yeah, family, kids. I think that, that switch happens when you have kids and when you realize, you know, time is important. With them. So I think now I'm at that stage. They are seven year old. I have 7 year old twins, nice. Twin boys. So I think that's one big thing. Health, definitely. Been down that road a bit over the last one and a half years, but not really, gone to the next level in that. So health, I don't want to be injured and physically debilitated when I'm after a few years. So that's second. I would say, and third, this is more TBD related, but build a team where a lot of junior people with very less qualifications, not the pedigreed folks that, you know, we generally interact with, but seeing them become successful. And, you know, when we'll talk about it, like, just as a pointer, our head chef, the earlier role was a security guard in a school.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Right?
And he comes from a village in Uttarakhand. To go to his village, it takes 7 days from Delhi. So you have to take a train, then a bus, then you have to trek and then you reach to his village. And today he's called a consultant chef over there. So if anybody has any problems in that entire district, you know, they're actually calling him whenever he goes home. So that pride, you know, you don't get it otherwise.
That's so amazing.
And I think that that for us generally as a culture also, you know, more than pedigree, the aptitude is what makes the difference.
Wow. That's an amazing answer. And thank you for sharing. A more fun one is, what three things would you eat for the rest of your life if you had to choose?
Mexican food.
Okay.
Kaju katli.
Yeah.
So a completely different one, but kaju katli and chocolate. I really don't know why people try any other flavors in desserts. Like, I know we run a brand which does that, but you know, like, who has butterscotch, honestly? Like, right? I want to find that one person who says I prefer butterscotch over chocolate.
My mom.
Okay, this is going to be a difficult conversation.
It does.
So, yeah.
So this one is one that we've added because it, you know, we're a bit lazy and it kind of gives us fun answers. So what's one question you would ask if you were the host of this show? What would you ask yourself?
Oh, myself.
Yes.
You know, tell me like three differences between the online or the public version of the Baker's Dozen and the real version of the Baker's Dozen. Don't ask me that.
We have to ask you that now.
Now we don't have a choice.
Yes.
But you know, one of the things, you know, I've always believed, and you know, it's something which a lot of people say, you know, no, that can't be true. And it's like, you know, real businesses do not talk too much on social media.
Okay.
So, you know, the degree of perception when you're talking a lot on social media versus the actual foundation of it, you know, that difference can really change, you know, how the business is. So, yeah.
We will see if we can slide that in quietly. Maybe like sneakily reworded. I'll think about how to ask that differently.
I have copyright on that question. Huh?
Okay. we'll pay you the royalty. Consultants versus entrepreneurs.
Spectators versus the gladiator.
Yeah. Okay.
That's... Okay, so let me just expand a bit. I actually think personally, my time at McKinsey, and if I were to really look at a job, you know, in a very classical sense, I don't think there's actually a better job out there. I think it's a great job. Obviously, you know, you get put into the deep end right at the start, right? I remember the 15th day of my joining McKinsey, and I had not worked before that, right? So I was a fresher from engineering, from MBA and in McKinsey. And the 15th day, like, I was presenting to the CEO of a, you know, of a billion-dollar corporation, right? And honestly, you know, I used to always think that, what do we know that these guys don't know, right? You know, why are they hiring us? But I think that learning curve is so steep. So it teaches you a lot of great rigor and all. But in the end, you know, there is that difference between, you know, your pocket depending on what you are saying and doing versus somebody else's.
That's fair.
How would you describe Baker Dozen's culture in three adjectives?
Okay. So sincere, and I'll expand a bit whenever we talk about the journey, right? So sincere / hardworking, no frills. We are not a TT playing, billiards playing, music playing in office culture. Honestly, we are much more. I wouldn't say that's wrong or right. That's just not what works for us, right? So it's a complete no frills. It's more of dhanda kaise chalana hai culture, right? And And third is actually also very, very ruthless in giving each other feedback. So, you know, and this is across the team. I think we are very clear that if this is working, this is working, this is not working. You know, sometimes ego comes in between, right? Saying that, you know, this was my idea. How can it fail? Or let me give it time. I think we are quite ruthless on that across the team.
Interesting. What is one truth you believe in deeply that very few people agree with you on?
Oh, I already answered that, right? You know, the magnitude of difference between social media and reality versus business cool. truth. So, yeah, because, you know, what will happen, right? So I'll tell you, in a very good or bad way, right? See, we get covered by media. We got covered by CNBC. We had a great, you know, 15-minute. You know, suddenly, all my relatives think that, you know, this guy like become like, you know, the guy, and, you know, suddenly they'll start reaching out, and, you know, friends from nowhere after a few years will, you know, suddenly start pinging you, right? But if you ask me the night before that episode and the day next, I was doing exactly the same thing. Right? So, you know, you're still dousing the same fires as a founder. So, you know, while it's great that, you know, there is validation, and even, you know, media also, you know, likes to cover startups and very interesting passion-led stories like ours, right? I would still say that does not mean, and where I'll tell you, it's not irritation, but where I feel the entire the startup ecosystem should kind of rise to is there are enough and more businesses and entrepreneurs who are doing it away from the limelight and actually doing a bloody better work job at, you know, what we do. Just because they are not VC funded does not mean that they are not, you know, PR friendly in a way. You know, that equation for me needs to be broken, right? VC funded is not only PR friendly. You know, I know somebody who set up a tile manufacturing business. And you know, in a few years, he's one of the biggest in tile manufacturing. No great qualifications, you know, no VC funding, no sexy, you know, media taglines, right? But those guys never get spoken about. And I think that's something which I feel we should fund. You know, it's why is it an or is my question.
Always. Right.
Right. Why can't it be an and?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great point. And please tell us about that company. Maybe we'll try to talk about it. The tie manufacturer offline. I also think like the media is looking for stories that sell, to be honest. If you have pedigree, if you are IIT, IIM, or if you've gone to a good, worked at a good place and you have a story, it will sell more. I mean, that as a creator, I understand because the TAM for that content is high. The total attention market is what I call it. But yeah, fair point. I agree. I think the takeaway, at least for me, is businesses can be built without any limelight. You don't need that as well. So that's good. You've had a very interesting journey. I mean, up to McKinsey, probably it was sort of expected from you, but then you did something orthogonal. Yeah. Cookie cutter expected from you. You know, you did engineering, you went to IMA, then you went to McKinsey. Maybe talk about your journey through till McKinsey, what you did at IMA, what you did in college, how you ended up at McKinsey, and then we can jump to Baker's Dozen.
You know, born, brought up in Bombay, son of doctors, both my parents were doctors. So classic, you know, studies comes first. You know, continuously academically brilliant, you know, jo bhi exam hai life mein de do, sixth standard mein go and give a scholarship exam, you know, get your certificates ready and get your CVs ready, right?
Are doctor parents more intense?
Mein JEE coaching ke liye chale jao.
Are doctor parents more intense than so, others?
So, honestly, in my case, actually, they were never pressurizing. in terms of, you know, studies or something. Yes, I think I genuinely, you know, that's one thing which I was doing well in school, you know, and one of the also in a way, you know, the regrets that I'm trying to, for example, push with my sons is that, you know, sports and overall holistic development is much more important. I think at our time, honestly, school may, if you are first or second, you know, you're not expected to do anything else, right? You need to get that 10th standard ka merit list. You need to get that 12th standard ka merit list. So did that. Did engineering, interestingly, you know, did BTech in pharmaceuticals and fine chemicals. Now, the reason to pick that, honestly, was not any great love of medicines. It was more a choice of the undergrad college, which was important for my postgrad degree. Right? So it was the classic ki MBA ke entrance ke liye, what is the best college that will come on the CV? Right, and that's where, so I did my BTech from UDCT in Bombay. It is now known as ICT, Institute of Chemical Technology. And in chemical engineering and allied subjects, it is number one in India, right? So you have obviously stalwarts like you have Mukesh Ambani, Anji Reddy, a lot of people passing out from that institute. So for me, the pedigree of the college at that time from a CV point of view and from an MBA entrance point of view mattered, right? So did that, was very clear, I'm not going to get into research or anything. I didn't want to do a PhD, go to the US, no lab work for me. Lab was like generally my quickest way out of the college. So gave my CAT, got calls from all the IIMs, thankfully. Obviously, Ahmedabad was an immediate choice, you know, and I don't know how it is today, but I think at that time it was quite clear. So that's how landed up in IIM Ahmedabad. You know, at that time, I think in Ahmedabad is when, and Aviral, you might know, you know, so there is a course on entrepreneurship in IIM Ahmedabad, which used to be taken Sunil by Handa. Professor Sunil Handa. So just as a side note, he is my father-in-law. And that technically happened on campus. So that's what you know. We always say that.
So you met your wife on campus.
Yes, yes, and so she's not from IIMA. Aditi is not from IIMA, but she is the daughter of a professor of mine from IIMA.
You have the 5.1 story, yes, in the, yes, two state setting, basically.
Actually, essentially, both exactly, right? So our parents met at the convocation, like in two states, right? And so we always say, yeah, that we need royalty. Matlab, this does not work. You can't sell books on our story. So my mom met my dad knew about it, and my mom met Aditi for the first time at the convocation. So that entire story. But anyway, long story short, got kind of introduced to entrepreneurship. And I think, see, I come from a Marwadi family also. So while my parents are doctors, so they are also professional. They are, you know, my dad runs his own clinic, and everybody in the family, you know, I would be by far the most qualified. Right. So it's always been, you know, thoda padhai karo, fir dhande pe lag jao. Right. And people have built good, honest businesses. Right. And that's that was quite clear that we wanted to get to that. And I thought consulting purely for that reason, that if you do even a small period, 2, 3, 5 years, you know, in consulting, the good thing is you get exposure across sectors.
Right.
So at least as a generalist, you know, the idea was that I'll get to understand what telecom is all about, what cement is all about, what pharma is all about. And obviously, you know, it's a pedigreed job from campus. So thankfully, got an internship with McKinsey and converted it. So I was out of the recession wala placements in a way, before only. Joined McKinsey, was there for 2, 2.5 years. Officially based out of Bombay office, but I think out of 2, 2.5 years would have been 15 days in Bombay. Mostly on client side. Genuinely also tried to do that. I wanted to, you know, you get to travel, you get to see the world. So, you know, all the perks of consulting life that you can get. Did that mainly a lot of pharma and healthcare projects because of the background, but across functions. So got to see change management, M&A, production, etc. But as I said earlier, right, it was quite clear. And I'll just share one incident over here. So McKinsey had this training program. Obviously, see, people are their biggest assets, right? So for them, training is the biggest thing. And McKinsey had a training program in Shanghai where they took us. And essentially, you train to then take up the next level, become like an engagement manager in McKinsey. And they put us in a room, and I still remember this. They gave us Lego blocks. And they told us, you know, make what you think you want to be in 5 years or in 10 years, right? What do you visualize your life as?
From Lego.
From Lego, using Lego. Okay. And, you know, everybody, so there was somebody who made like a corner office, you know, a nice office. Somebody made a nice house with a family and all of that, right? And I made a factory, you know, a fourth standard project. Mein kabhi factory banaya apne with that chimney. Aisa
yes. Was,
right? And with that chimney coming up and, you know, then you
put the scenery
exactly, right? Right? So, maine actually wo banaya. And then, you know, just for fun's sake, like I put a very nice Ferrari kind of car in front, right?
Okay.
So they asked me, ye kya hai? So I said, it's my factory in 10 years. But they said, you're in McKinsey. I said, yeah, see, that's what I understood now, that I can't be here if I have to do this. while they were trying to train me to become a better consultant, I realized I shouldn't be here.
That's amazing, so, man.
Oh. But yeah, so you know, then actually kind of decided to leave, and around 2012, mid 2012 is when I left McKinsey.
So are you the only person on earth who got inspired by Lego set and left the job? Probably yes.
Possible. Yeah. Yeah, the love for Lego is quite deep now.
yeah. Subliminal messaging through Lego. Very cool. So how did you like land up on this? I understand that, you know, you met your then to-be wife on campus, and she has a culinary background. So there could have been some influences from there. But just want to understand, you know, how did the idea come? Did you think that, oh, hey, you know, in life, I want to run a restaurant, hence, let me get into food. Was that an inspiration? What was the thought process?
So, actually, Aditi's culinary background came after we decided to start a bakery. So I'll come to that.
Interesting. Cool.
she herself, so she's a psychology and HR graduate. Right, and she was, so what happened was, I left McKinsey, right, around that time Aditi was also looking, before that Aditi had set up one of India's first college merchandise stores. You know the Vimvian store on IMA campus?
Yes.
So that was first set up, conceptualized by Aditi. Initially, when even all the LKP models, you know, the Harvard steps, all of that, going to China, sourcing those. So it was a project which she and her dad had done with the campus, with the institute.
Very cool.
And the idea was to give it back to the institute in a few years, right? So around mid-2012, Feb, March, you know, when we ended up saying that both of us were at that crossroads, where what next? And today, you know, if you ask me very intelligently, you know, what did I look in a co-founder and etc., I'll answer that very, very intelligently. But at that time, we said, you know, hum dono baithe saath mein kar lete, chalo theek hai kar lete kahin se.
What's the intelligent answer, Sneh? What's the intelligent answer?
Look for complementary skill sets. Everything should. But I'll elaborate on that later, right? And, you know, especially, you know, people think, you know, spouses working together, good idea, bad idea, you know, work balance, life balance, kaise karoge?
Somehow in consumer brands, kaafi achha chal raha hai, is what I have observed. And but so, yes, that is a question everyone asks. That should you start together?
And actually, if you ask the real truth for most of them, I think when they started together, they did not think through it much. You know, people are like, it was more ki yaar, matlab, you know, hum dono baithe hai, matlab, we both want to do something, So, you know, let's start it off. So that's when, so where was I? Yeah. So we decided to start something. We actually sat with a whiteboard and we said, you know, let's look at all sectors openly. And we put like, oh, and sectors obviously then, which we said, let's do a Venn diagram that there's a sector which is of interest and is it of interest to us personally, right? So I remember on that board, there was like roti, kapda, makan, you know, it was like food is an area of interest, textiles. We said real estate. I remember old age homes. So I actually went to TISS, you know, Tata Institute of Social Sciences, to do like a 3-day course on taking care of the elderly, right? As a test that, you know, do I have the passion or interest for this? And honest to God, Avril, at the end of the weekend, I said, you know, this is a great need. I think there's a market. You know, there are people who can do this great, but my patience levels do not allow me to do this. Right? So, you know, it was a very honest conversation with myself saying, you know, ki, you know, it might be great, but
it's not funny.
Nahi ho payega. Ye nahi ho payega. Right. So, etc., right? Online groceries was there on that board. And this was before Big Basket came into being, you know. So, there were a lot of these narrowed down on a bit of pharma and a bit of food. And then we decided we don't know what to do. Let's go around and meet people who have done this. So through our circles, through Aditi's dad circle, everything, we met almost 80 to 90 entrepreneurs, businessmen, I would say even people who were in, you know, leadership positions, right, in various companies. We met the head of Domino's Pizza. And sometimes what happens, Viral, is, you know, when you go, and what's very interesting is when you go and ask these people, and we used to literally go meet them and say, we are here for 2-3 hours. You know, you can feed us if you want to, but we just want to hear your story. Right. And what you're doing with me essentially. Right. you know, it's amazing how these guys can be very candid, very open, very honest. Obviously, you know, as long as it's gone through a particular source. And we got to learn a lot, right? Met a restaurant owner, met a person who runs that 108 ambulance service, call centers, etc. In one of the conversations, there was a very passing line called, India mein achhi bread nahi milti. Right? And we had that recorder, that handheld recorder we used to use to record those interviews. And we would listen to it later, right? And that kind of stuck with us. That then went on to the whiteboard, ki, like a bakery. And then one more question that we asked, and even today, honestly, if I ask you, tell me a pan-India new age bakery brand, right? And the problem is mostly the answer comes Britannia.
Yeah, correct.
Right?
Yes.
Which is honestly a biscuit brand.
Yes.
Right? So that's where we felt, you know, there's a gap. What struck with me was that there is a brand building gap. See, I'm a very touch and feel person, right? I need a product in my hand. Mere ko online tech coding wo sab nahi samajh mein aata. I need a hard, you know, hardcore product in my hand. I need to see it on a shelf. And I'm also not a B2B person. So I want to build a brand. Right. So that kind of stuck with me. For Aditi, obviously, there was also a love for food generally. So she was interested in the culinary arts. She had not done a proper qualification in that. And that's when once we decided on the idea, one of the things was also that we wanted one of us to be qualified in it. Right. You can't rely only on chefs and other employees. Right.
That's why you were going to the old age homes and the other idea.
Exactly. Right. That do we know that? So that's when Aditi went to the French Culinary Institute in New York to learn bread baking. And then post that, she's followed that up with a pastry course from Le Cordon Bleu Paris. So that's where, you know, for us, product comes naturally first because, you know, that's in the DNA right now. That for Aditi, you know, that's the core.
And they are pretty good schools from what I understand. I'm obviously not a food person, but I've heard them. Yeah, they're pretty pedigreed.
So Le Cordon Bleu would be like the culinary IMA, you know, of the world in a way, of the world. So that, you know, and those guys, see, what's the beauty again, right? They will not teach you recipes. You know, they'll not tell you, ki, you know, ye recipe lo, ye by heart karo, isse bana do. They will teach you techniques. So, you know, when Aditi came first time back and I had set up our kitchen in Wadala in Bombay, right? And we had just finalized a place for our first store and we were going to sell from there. And she started baking and it was all a disaster, right? First 2-3 days, like, you know, it just didn't come out, you know, bread pura phata hua tha, etc., etc. But that's when she went back to the technique, right? See, because Indian flour is different. Indian water is different, right? What she was used to doing over there, you can't copy paste that. So then you have to go back to the basics, say, you know, what is hydration important for? What are the percentages I need to tweak? What are the temperature conditions like? And I think that product first approach right from the start, I think that's what kind of helped us, right? That difference.
How do you guys make decisions as a team? And I'm sure that's evolved over the years, but how do you guys disagree?
So where it has evolved, Mazin, and that's a good point. See, initially, and I would say this for all, especially couplepreneurs, right? That what happens is initially your business is very small, you know, when you start off. Now, wo logo ka color is also such an important decision for both of you, right? That it spoils the weekend. Right. So you know, at night also, 12 o'clock, like before you're just saying good night, you know, you're saying that is that color better, that color? So that, but there's nothing, honestly, there's, you know, you have to go through that. And initially it will be much more difficult. Once if scale does come to some extent, then what happens is, see, it's a much bigger pie, right? Then your chances of getting into, and you start looking at a bigger picture than into each and every, you know, minute detail, right? But see, I think there are very clear areas, Mazin, that we have kind of decided, right? So on the product part, for example, if it comes to anything, Aditi is clear, you know, she decides, right? Yeah. From a sales point of view, I decide what to do in the market, how to do it, right? Yes, there will be views, and I think now the good thing is we have an entire leadership team, right? So all of them also contribute. And generally, you know, what we have seen is consensus is not difficult to come to if there is a central aim that the company is going towards.
Got it. Yeah.
See, the problem comes in most of these cases is, you know, let's say you get a guy. Now, imagine if your company's DNA is sustainable business growth. And you get a guy who's used to, you know, putting in 300 rupees and getting 5 rupees initially, but with the aim of getting 3,000 rupees later.
Yeah.
Right? That fit is not going to happen. So there can never be consensus, or there will be forced consensus which will kind of burst one day.
Look, right? Correct.
Right? So if you keep that central radar right, then generally consensus is not difficult.
What was 0 to 1 like for you guys, Sneh? Like, I know you were just alluding to it. How did you start?
Yeah.
The bread didn't get made and things like that.
Yeah. So initially, actually, the idea was to start with a few stores of our own. One store, two stores in Bombay. And start
and
with a
can
bread
you
and
explain artisanal baking? Yeah. Like, how is it different from normal baking? Is there a difference? And how are you looking at it differently?
So the main difference, and I'll expand how we do it. It's essentially the difference between a large-scale mass cookie-cutter production versus more handmade, smaller batches, different kinds of baking. So, you know, generally, if you were to go to any mass bakery, right, let's say you go to a local bakery store, the same base recipe will be used for a whole wheat. Then you add some olives and call it a focaccia. You add some cheese and you call it a cheese bread. you add something else. So, you know, a very one Australian chef had come to visit us, and you know, he'd come to our bakery after visiting some 5-6 bakeries in Bombay. So it was like a B2B, one of our ingredient suppliers, and the Indian representative had been taking him along everywhere, right? And he comes to our kitchen, he tries our products, and he turns to his guy and says, and this line I still remember, he says, "I've been eating same shit, different sizes and shapes till now. Right? Why didn't you get me here first?" And you know, that's, see, what happens is at a mass production level, it will not allow you to do these things.
Yes.
Right. So that in a way is that artisanal. So when we talk about our sourdough, right, it is stone baked. It is baked on the same stone, deck oven that, let's say, a wood fire, you know, that pizza ovens are, right? The same oven that a Pizza Express uses is what we use. Now, what happens is when you bake it on stone, your batch sizes are very small. It cannot go in a rotary oven where, you know, you can put 100 in one batch. The same amount of electricity and gas is now used for 20 loaves, right? That input is what leads to that differential output in terms of the product, right? Now taking those calls as a business is what kind of defines an artisanal business versus a mass business, right?
And is scaling an issue then, Sneh? So like my immediate reaction is, you can't scale this business beyond a point.
So what happens is, usme na, I will, the Americans have honestly got it bang on right. So, you know, the French know baking. They are proud of their baking, right? But the Americans have found a way to even, you know, commercialize and industrialize even those, right? You know, you can, like, everything becomes a very good process. Now, what we do at our end is, see, there will be your sliced breads and your sponge cakes and cookies which can be made, right? Now, a cookie, even that handmade, that kind of cookie cut finish, right, a handmade, can also be through some equipment, right? It will still not be at a speed that a full-on line will be, right? So, see, again, scalability is also relative, right? Now, if you ask me 100, 500, you know, crore journey, yes. Now, if you ask me a 5,000 crore journey, you know, that's a very different answer, right? But for me, my point is that first step is more than enough.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
So a lot of 0 to 1 was, those early adopters that we classically talk about, right, in marketing. So a lot of people started coming to our store. Actually, what happened was, we were opening our first retail store in Prabhadevi. Okay. I finalized the site. Our kitchen was up and ready. We said December 2012, we will launch the store and we will start selling breads from there. Just 1 month before, when we were going to start construction work, the landlord backed out. Okay. Now I have a kitchen which is up and ready. We have hired a few people, right? Now I have to go find another location. So I am effectively 3 months behind schedule. Right. And that's when we decided that let's make breads, how much ever we can. Let's start making 10 loaves a day, 20 loaves a day. We found 4 or 5 complexes around where we were staying. We were in Shivri, Parel area, right? We found these high-end complexes through networks, through, alums, etc. Got connects into these complexes. These are all 500,000 flat complexes. And what we would do, and this actually Aditi and me used to do personally, so Aditi would bake at night. I would take the bread at around 5-6 from her in the morning. Okay. I would go in my car, get entry into one of these societies through that friend or something, right? Park the car, take my crate, take the lift, go to the topmost floor. And then, you know, me, no, I would not ring bell. So I would like just keep leaving those, you know, pads outside.
Oh my God. Just like
that. So there were times when, you know, me and that daily doodhwala were doing it together.
Right? Yeah, going.
So, nice. And you know, we would leave a nice note and all. Then wherever we knew, obviously, you know, we would even talk to the customer, etc. And we said very simply, see, we are your new neighbors. We are a neighborhood bakery. We are just trying something. If you like it, write to us. If you hate it, write to us. Tell us what we can do better, right? And बस ये आप मतलब ट्राई कर लो दैट्स इट एंड इट्स अमेजिंग यू नो द काइंड ऑफ कस्टमर इनसाइट्स दैट यू गेट राइट सो एक्चुअली वी हैव बीन गिल्टी इन द लास्ट 2-3 इयर्स वंस वी स्टार्टेड स्केलिंग दैट अदिति एंड मी वेंट अवे फ्रॉम द कस्टमर अ बिट सो लास्ट 6 मंथ्स एक्चुअली कॉन्शियसली वी हैव नाउ स्टार्टेड अगेन टॉकिंग टू कस्टमर्स आवरसेल्व्स आल्सो राइट एंड द टीम But you know they'll be like so one you know person will call and say wo kishmish wali bread thi na aapki wo bahut achhi thi you know and they're talking of like a walnut raisin sourdough right yeah. Then one lady actually called and said you know I was in France and a very old lady right and she's like I was in France and that bread after 30 years I've got you know thank you and like she's almost in tears right and you are like okay you know then you feel there's something happening right there is some love that is going on eventually started our store then started building more stores we were I would say till date India's first high street high end store selling bread right our store in Prabhadevi was opposite a Mercedes Benz showroom you know and you know like in very marketing talk or new startup talk right you can compare the AOVs
yeah I was going to ask who has more margin by the way
right so we used to always joke ki like jo bhi udhar se Mercedes le raha hai hum ek bread aisa fek denge ki aap please le lo aapke sath But you know, that's when people notice you, right? People saw, okay, these guys are doing something different. We started off with 13 breads on our menu. The baker's dozen, so we had to start with 13. And that's when a lot of PR got written, food bloggers started coming. There was a lot of great word of mouth, right? See, today you'll see a lot of similar stories, right? You know, when you talk of an artisanal coffee chain or something, who start like that? Grew from the stores, very soon realized that it's a very neighborhood product. See, if you are in Pune, for example, you are in Kharadi, right? You are not going to go to Baner for bread, right? Now, I can't expect that I will put up a store in Baner and expect you to come there every day or every second day to buy, right? That's when we started getting into distribution, retail stores. We started getting to Nature's Basket, Haiko, Big Bazaar. And then that's how the brand took off, right? Initially, very Bombay Pune, because we were baking in Bombay. Around 2019 is when we moved to Ahmedabad. So I'm actually now, Aditi, me, family, we are all based in Ahmedabad now.
Okay.
Right. We put up a manufacturing facility here. We worked on the shelf life, on the packaging. Right. So the we did a what is called a modified atmosphere packaging, and that's how we got higher shelf life on our products, right? While retaining the freshness of it. So that's when we started scaling across. While we started from Ahmedabad. But, you know, the factories were in Ahmedabad, but Bombay, Pune, then Delhi, Bangalore, across. And today we are in more than 30 cities, especially through our online partners, present across major 4 categories, breads, sponge cakes, cookies, crackers. And at least from, amazing. You know, incredible. Reach distribution point of view, we are India's largest artisanal bakery brand.
Would love to talk a bit more about distribution and kind of understand how you build that out. But before we do that, quick question, more about your early days. You learned about this business from the ground up, both of you, right? I'm sure there are a lot of assumptions that you had going in that ended up being proved wrong. Can you give us some of the biggest ones?
Fair. So first big one is, you know, there's this classic line, right? That people build businesses based on problems that they face.
Yeah.
You know, somebody says, you know, but I didn't get this to wear so or to eat.
Right.
Yeah. So I went ahead and built it. I think that's wrong.
Okay.
And why I'll tell you that's wrong is because, at least for the circles that we are in, right, purely because of our certain level of pedigree that we have achieved early in life, right, what happens is this microcosm is a very incorrect example of, forget what Bharat is, what India is. I think Bharat is too far a step jump. Right? So, you know, somebody says, for example, I'll give you a small example, right? Somebody says that in a party, you know, the idea of putting some kind of tags on wine glasses to know that whose is whose, you know, that's a problem to be solved. Right? But is that a business to be made about?
Is it valuable? Yeah, yeah. Is it a big enough problem? Right?
And the thing is, you know, those 10 people in that party, because of the background that they come from, for them, you know, this is like, yes, yes, if you can do it, you know, it's amazing. Right?
It's a good example.
And I think that's what we are realizing now, right? You know, why did we do sliced breads right from the start?
Okay.
Right? We could have told that, you know, we could have been those people saying, you know, sliced breads is a very American invention. We could have been like the French and said, you know, I look down upon this sliced bread. I will only give you sourdoughs, right? But I don't have a population like what France does, right? All right. Even my creme de la creme is used to a chutney sandwich.
Yes.
Right? And a chutney sandwich, you know, in a sourdough is not the same as what it is in a toasted bread. So that, you know, my main, you know, that was an assumption, right? And I think that's completely wrong. Don't solve it if you're the only one or your circle is the only one facing that problem.
That's a good one. And I think for a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs as well, you know, I mean, that's, you keep looking for problems that you've faced. So how do you kind of bring yourself out of that and kind of take your customers' perspective? Talking to them, of course, but
at least they say what happens in food and, you know, and those kind of categories is just a lot of sampling, customer interaction, food festivals that you go to, put up stalls. Right? Check. And honestly, every entrepreneur or founder, right, knows it deep down. You know, whatever you might be telling your investors, that is for the investors. You know yourself what is your real TAM.
Right.
You know, Excel numbers can be used to give anything.
Yes.
Right. Now, are you a Koramangala brand or are you a Bangalore brand? That's a very different scale, right? I'm not even talking about Bharat. Exactly what I'm saying, right? That though is a
battle. Yes. Yeah. Amazing. And so coming back to distribution, right? You started to tell us and you kind of walked us through it like, oh, we just got a few online partners, but I'm sure there's a lot more to it than that. So walk us through how you kind of built out your distribution and scaled to...
So initially, as I said, it was a lot through our own stores, Mazen. And, you know... people walking in, buying from our stores, then gradually started getting into retail. See, we were always very clear. You know, we did not look at buzzwords like D2C or omni-channel, right? For us, bahut simple answer tha. Does my customer buy bread from here or buy a cake from here? If they do, wo agar modern trade store hai, general trade store hai, is it an online platform? Doesn't matter to me. I have to sell them. Right? Because it is that kind of product. I can't only say I will only sell from a website. Right? I can't tell you I will deliver tomorrow your bread because I am in Baner and you are in Karadi. Right? That doesn't make sense.
It won't work.
So, and I can't even say that I will only be on Big Basket or Zepto or something on your in your city, but I will not be with your local store. Right? Because again, these get consumed at both places. The same customer during their normal grocery shopping will buy bread from a store and will also then buy the top up online when they don't want to get out.
Yeah. So right? Both behaviors, right? Not,
so for us, the answer was always very city specific more than channel. So it was ki, okay, Understand. You know, can we build Bombay? Can we build Pune? So then we took Delhi and Bangalore. Even today, right, while technically we are in 30 plus cities, and again, a very founder truth will be that is more an investor number which an online company can share about, right?
Yes.
For me, I would say 80% of our sales comes from three cities, which is Bombay, Delhi, Bangalore. Okay. Right, and in this I'm including Delhi NCR, so Delhi, Gurgaon, Noida, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we are still heavily concentrated, right? Because in those cities, I need to be on online platforms, I need to be offline, I need to be available everywhere, right? So built out distribution gradually. The good thing is over the last 3-4 years, see, with the advent of quick commerce, right, for categories like us. That's almost become a new distribution channel and a big one, right?
Yeah.
These guys are, see, I wouldn't say, you know, they are replacing GT. I think that's too ingrained. But for the customer TG that we are targeting, they are becoming that consumption choice, right? They are become the channel of choice. And that's where for a channel, for a category like ours, for category like snacks, etc., I think that's become a very interesting distribution play. What that helps now, see, when you go offline, one of the problems is that after a few pockets in a city, you start losing density.
Okay.
Right? So yeah. if I go to, you know, an outskirts of Bangalore, for example, there will be one place where there is a great complex which has all my customers. But that might be only it, right? Now, the problem is if I build offline over there, it might not be financially feasible for me to do that.
Yeah.
Right? But these guys help us reach there. Yeah. So I think that's become quite significant in the last 3-4 years, and that's helped a lot for us, right? Just to give you perspective, we have grown almost 8 times in the last 3 years, 3-4 years.
Wow.
Right? And the first 2 years was also while being profitable. Then we took on VC funding.
Hey, VCs.
but it's been a good journey. So grown a lot through these guys, and the good thing is grown still concentrated in these cities. So, you know, see, in our category, I can't tell you tomorrow I'm in 10,000 pin codes. That doesn't work for us. I can't supply to a northeast, even if the market is there right now, till the time I start building the infrastructure, right? Because in the end, it's a perishable product.
Understand.
Right. So that Sneh, it has to be step by step. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sneh, you know, just building on this, how are you seeing the company, you know, scale up now? You've raised money. What does the next maybe 5 years look like for you? If you can share what scale you are at today, if it's public or whatever number that gives a sense of your presence, that would help if revenue is possible.
Fair. So we do around 5 crores of revenue a month,
okay.
Right now, right, and well, we are break even. We are almost break even, right. So for us, see, two things we are very clear about. One, we will grow sustainably. See, we ran this company bootstrapped for almost 8 years. We have done 2 rounds of funding. The great thing is all the investors that we have on board are people who understand that, right? How to build long-term sustainable businesses. This is not a tech X to 10X story.
Correct.
Right? It's not a hockey stick.
Correct.
Right?
It's going to be dheere, 50-60%
every year. So it'll be step by step. But you build, you know, the good thing is the brand value is almost disproportionate in some cases to the business also, right? Because it's a daily habit product, right?
Correct.
It's you're continuously seeing it.
Yep.
So, and the good across, whether I talk about Fireside, I talk about Wipro, you know, the good thing is long-term backing, investors very clearly aligned to build a strong business.
Right.
So that's point one. See, we will grow. Obviously, the idea would be to build a initially, build a 100, 200 crore business, then grow it to a 500 crore business over the next, 2, 3, 4 years. More importantly, start replicating the success of Bombay, Bangalore, Delhi in the other pockets. Right. Now, the good thing is that because of the awareness and the change in the last 5, 7, 10 years, right? So there's, for example, there's one store in Rajkot which does more business for us than any store in Ahmedabad or generally some other
stores. Wow.
Right? Now, because, see, I am not asking you to come and buy jewelry. Right? Your monthly budget might go up by 200 rupees if you move to me full time.
Yeah.
Right? At a net level, right? That's less than a pint of beer in Bangalore.
Yeah. Correct.
Right? Now, can that jump be taken? Yes, for a lot of people. Right? And a lot of people in these towns also. Money is there. They don't have the options. They don't have those brands.
Right? Yeah.
That's where a lot of the focus will go in terms of building that. Also, obviously categories are there. The good thing is, we play in breads, we play in cakes, there is cookies, there is crackers, right? And see, where I want to see it is in 5 years, can for a decent part of India, right? At least tier one, tier two India, can I be in the consideration set for every consumption occasion, for every meal?
Mm.
So, for example, breakfast, let them think of my breads. Lunch or evening snacks at least. So, I would say maybe not the main meals, but evening snacks. Then can they look at my cookies or my cakes? Right? Post-dinner desserts, can they look at the cakes? So, that's where we want to start becoming a brand of choice.
Understand. Yeah. Awesome. Sneh, thank you so much for so candidly sharing. It was a fun conversation, a lot of energy, a lot of discussion on food. Thank you so much. Yes. I hope our listeners enjoy this.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. And thank you for having me. Thank you.